I'm very pleased to be in this gathered community this morning. And we normally don't do this, but I do want to call out some of the folks who are in the sanctuary this morning. Baby Soleil, I believe, is right over there. Right, okay, Baby Soleil is getting changed. And in the church. Trevor is here from the West Coast. Layla Jamal over here. And Betty Hankins is in the back of the house, who we love so much. And so many more. It's great to be together. And we need one another. Somebody said earlier we try the other way so often it doesn't work. And we know that the holidays can be difficult to get into the spirit. I have some friends who just get depressed in December, year after year. And sometimes you have to be creative to try and get out of it. Langston Hughes, the Harlem Renaissance poet and political activist, had a Christmas card he sent commonly to friends at this time. If times weren't so doggone hard, I might send you a gift, but since I'm broke as broke can be, here's just a Christmas lift. Merry, Merry Christmas. And that means a lot. When you're broke, don't have money, Christmas can feel tough, partly because of our cultural overdependence on materialism. You can also feel broke in spirit. Last week, I felt broke when a beloved member of our church died. David Bonanno was a dear, beautiful man, died at 68. His wife had died that year of cancer. His daughter was murdered 15 years ago. And his death broke many of our hearts this month. On top of it, you just put the regular stuff. Folks are struggling with flus and colds, and the most outstanding Eagles quarterback blew out his knee, making a beautiful play, and he's out for the season. That's a bummer. Have you ever wanted to be in the Christmas spirit and not been able to get there in your heart? In 1963, actors Ozzie and Ruby Davis and author James Baldwin brought artists and civil rights leaders together to form a boycott of Christmas. This was a request for people not to participate in Christmas in the regular way. The boycott, I'll say it this way in front of the children, the boycott was in protest of the hurting and abusing of black communities. And leaders asked that instead of buying gifts, folks make Christmas contributions to civil rights organizations, organizations working hard to make sure that everybody gets treated fairly. This was a declaration that in order to celebrate the birthday of Jesus with integrity, people could not stand by and allow for the continuation of keeping brown people out of good schools and good jobs and houses and nice neighborhoods. Right now, in this holiday season of Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year of 2017, too many people in our nation are suffering in ways that Jesus would oppose. Today, on this very day in the United States of America, 41 million people face hunger, 13 million children in America face hunger today. Right now, nearly 1 in 10 adults in our country do not take their medication as prescribed because they cannot afford to, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. While we certainly have the resources to pay to properly feed and provide medicine to all of our people, this year, our great nation will have spent at least $611 billion dollars on the military, $611 billion on the military. This is more than next eight countries combined. And we can go on and on about the ways in which the Christmas spirit is not being lived out. And today, we are amongst many others who are saying, let's celebrate Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, as part of bringing peace and justice to all. Let's do this with embracing some creativity. Langston Hughes wrote his Christmas cards that brought his friends a lift at a much bigger level. He was a key leader in the Harlem Renaissance, in which W.E.B. Du Bois said, we black folk had a new desire to create, as though we had just awakened from a deep, deep sleep. As folks worked the Christmas boycott, they also danced the night away to Dizzy's big band with clarinets, trumpets, and saxophones. They read novels by Zora and tried to write their own. They read plays and poems by Paul and tried to write their own. They painted, they sculpted as more, as part of the celebration, was part of the work. Deep in our souls, many of us feel called to more fully wake up to life and love, to be more fully connected to life and love. And we feel called to more fully activate our capacities for creative justice making. People with every kind of skin pigmentation. This is a great time to pull out your favorite music and sing and dance. This is a time to write poems and plays, to draw pictures for your friends or your family, your coworkers. As members of the human race, when we're feeling down, we have a capacity to live out what Langston Hughes said, my people, dream singers, storytellers, dancers, and loud laughers. We have a capacity to make a noise of soulful hallelujah. We have the capacity, and this is part of why we come here. When we live our lives in a spirit of soulful hallelujah, great things can happen, like the people of Alabama speaking out this week in favor of unity, in favor of unity over, I don't care what letter you put in front, I do not care what letter you put in front of your name, R, D, or I, you can always speak out for respect and human decency. And Alabama gave the nation a Christmas gift, and we can choose what to do with it. We can make some other Christmas gifts out of Alabama's. On the last Christmas Eve of his life, Dr. King preached in Atlanta at his home church, Ebenezer Baptist. The year was 67, a year of great polarization in our nation, sadly so much in common with this year, 2017. In that sermon, King spoke about how the Christmas commitment to peace must be embedded in the way we live all year long. On his last Christmas Eve, King said, I still have a dream that one day the idle industries of Appalachia will be revitalized and the empty stomachs of Mississippi will be fed. On his last Christmas Eve, King said, I still have a dream that with this faith we will be able to adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day where there will be peace on earth and goodwill toward all people. It will be a glorious day. The morning stars will sing together, and the sons and daughters of God will shout for joy. Hallelujah. We know now that during this time, King was living with a sense of great isolation and despair, and he leaned into a lot of his best colleagues, like Tony Bennett, Aretha Franklin. And he often called Aretha for some Motown soul of Hallelujah, asked her to sing songs to him on the line like Precious Lord, after which he would say, Amen, Hallelujah. In this holiday season, I have a dream. I have a dream that we will continue to build a truly multicultural church that meets the needs and aspirations of a wide variety of people. I have a dream that the spirituality in us will find a hidden wholeness and awaken to miracles of abundant life. And as partners in the wider community, we will live as disciples of love, people committed with discipline to love, giving everything we've got, bending the arc of the universe towards justice, singing all the way, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Amen.
Also known as the Shakespeare of Harlem. Langston wrote over 1,000 poems, and he wrote quite a number of poems for children. This is one of them, Shepherd's Song at Christmas. Look there at the star, I among the least will arise and take a journey to the east. But what shall I bring as a present for the king? What shall I bring to the manger? I will bring a song that I will sing to the manger, a song for the king. Watch out for my flocks. Do not let them stray. I'm going on a journey far, far away. But what shall I bring as a present for the child? What shall I bring to the manger? I will bring a lamb, gentle, meek, and mild. A lamb for the child in the manger. I'm just a shepherd boy, very poor I am, but I know there is a king in Bethlehem. What shall I bring as a present just for him? What shall I bring to the manger? I will bring my heart and give my heart to him. I will bring my heart to the manger.
As Kent mentioned earlier, people have many different feelings about the holiday season. For some, it's a time of joy. Maybe the kids are home from college or the grandchildren are visiting. Maybe you're surrounded by friends or alone with that special someone. Maybe it's a little different for you, though. Like many people, I have a complicated relationship with this time of year. I lost my father at Christmas, so there's always a little bit of sadness for me. But it's also my birthday, which is a happy thing. Some years I'm all in for Christmas, putting Martha Stewart to shame with my handmade cards, my fully decorated tree with the matching ornaments and the matching wrapping paper, and the mounds of perfectly baked cookies and savories for these big holiday parties that I throw. And then other years, the season comes and goes without my sending one card or baking one cookie. My family is the same way. We might not decorate or exchange presents, but no matter what, we always get together, either Christmas Eve for dinner or brunch on Christmas Day. We laugh and sing, watch sports and play Scrabble, and give thanks for the gift of being together. And we always find a way to help others at this time of year. Through my work, my chaplaincy, my ministry, just driving through the streets of the city of Philadelphia, I know that everyone is not as fortunate as I am. For many in our community, and by that I mean not just African Americans and people of color, but for many people, this is a time of sadness. It can hurt to be alone when it seems that the rest of the city is happy and jubilant. For some in our community, this is a time of sorrow and grief. Others are cold, hungry, homeless, or struggling with health or financial troubles. The truth is that Christmas isn't always merry for everyone. That's why we help others. Stopping by to visit the elder who can't get out, inviting to dinner the friend who's alone, donating money or a toy to a good cause, or volunteering somewhere. Just bringing a little light into another's life, if only for a moment, it's important. I learned that as a child, and it's part of my core values as an adult. So I ask, what can you bring this holiday season? Bring your heart. As you celebrate, remember those who may be struggling. And if you're feeling vulnerable, reach out. We're here. We're all in this together, all part of the larger web of life, each of us balancing our struggles and our hopes, and each of us carrying within us a spark of the divine. So this holiday season, let's kindle that spark into a flame that provides light and warmth as we celebrate the sacred season and wish peace and love to our larger community and to the world.